Bless the Lord. Welcome everybody to fellowship. We have quite some ground to count down. Quite some ground. Count down. Count quite some ground to cover this morning because we're doing teaching. And it's become necessary because in the book of Hezekiah, chapter 10, verse 1, everybody knows where Hezekiah is in the Bible, right? There's no book of Hezekiah. Yeah, Joe. Hey, listen. After Revelation. Bible says that the devil is in the detail. Does the Bible say that? Well, we know the devil is in the detail, Abby. Yeah? It's in a manner of speaking. So at times it's necessary for us to look beyond the John 3:16 and the Romans 3:23 and the sorry. Yeah, Romans 6:23, which are the other popular ones? John 1:1. And look at the details. It could be boring, but please bear with me. May the word of God not be boring to you. Most of the time, Mitu, it's nice to see you. Romoke, the Hawaiians. You people didn't take me. Okay. Next time around. So we're going to dig deep from where we left off last week. It's so there's a swath of scriptures. That because we don't know it, that's where Satan is hiding. And I pray that the Lord will give us the rigor of mind to know it. I don't know your name. You have to remind me your name. Nathan. Oh, wow, the prophet. Have you heard anything lately from God? Not really. Nathan with the polo. Anyway. So we're going to dig deep. And the challenge here is we really do need the spiritual. I pray you will not be bored. But let's start. We ended last Sunday with John chapter 8, verse 31, 32. Who remembers? Just the gist. I know it's tough to carry over, but and the truth. And thank you. Sister Kemi, and that scripture was speaking to who? It started from 31 saying, and the Lord said to the Jewish believers, and the Holy Spirit revealed to us why that was necessary. We went to the history of the struggle of Jewish believers and why. Well done, Sheita First Mommy. Welcome. Hi, Sheita, first daddy. Where are your brothers? You said they are around. They went to the other places. Tell them we like to see them too. And at times I wonder, what would Paul want to say to us? Say, you shall know the truth. He said, the Lord said to the Jews who believed in him, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. No. Abide in me, and then let my word abide in you. And then if my word abides in you, then you will know the truth. And these were believers. And Christ is saying, stick with what you have learned from me. If you don't move away, remember we are talking about Christ is the head of the church, right? If you don't move away from this, then you will know the truth, and that's in this truth, that's where your freedom will come from. But we traced how, especially the people that Jesus spoke to thousands of years ago, why there's an inherent temptation for them not to abide in the gospel that was preached to them. Cultural pressure on them. Not only that, the people putting cultural pressures. Those Jewish people themselves are now subconsciously putting cultural pressure on even Gentiles to be like Jews. These were some of the issues that the apostles were dealing with. Now, before I go into scriptures, I just so that you are asking myself, I have so much going on in my life. What's this Jewish Gentile talk? How is this even relevant to me, right? It's because of something going on, which we have to be very careful. Anything that we take Jesus, our focus away, and they could be very good things, will be very, very dangerous. I mean, let me tell you, the offshoot of that right now is those of you who are not from Nigeria, we probably have not heard of JPs. What are JPs? The Muslims have a prefix before their name. It's called what? Al-Harji, which is translated in Arabic. Arabic as what? Stranger, a visitor. So when you visit Mecca, you're called Al-Haji. I felt it might have been a greeting, but it turned into a title over the years. But we Christians now have a similar one. What is it? It wasn't there when I was in Nigeria. Thank you very much. And which means what? Jerusalem Pilgrim. So suddenly I've started seeing a lot of names with Jerusalem. And she went to Jerusalem and texted me all of, yeah, this is the place that Jesus, this is the, oh, it's so inspiring. My parents did the same. Beware. Do not let culture turn into anything more significant. Nathan, you receive that? Than just culture. It's dangerous. As long as it's nostalgia, that's fine. That's fine. But don't let that become a core of your faith. Jesus the same yesterday, especially because Jesus did not focus on such things. I'll give you another example from the Bible this time. John chapter 4. I'll remind you of this. We have a lot of Bible reading, so just write this down. Around verse 24, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and those who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. But do we remember what came about? Why the Lord gave that quotation in the Bible? What was the circumstance? There was a question that was thrown to Christ. Yes, she said.
Sorry, but our fathers worshipped here in Mount Gerizim and in at Mount Gerizim. You Jews, so she's a Samaritan, so you Jews said that we should worship. And Jesus said the time is coming when those who worship the Father will worship in spirit and in truth, and that time is come. That's when he
mentioned something before the Lord decided
when
we should just die.
not yeah, so he said not yeah, neither in Gerizim nor in Jerusalem, but the time has come when those who worship those the time has come when those who worship the Father will worship him in spirit and truth, for God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
So the Lord was essentially, thank you. The Lord was essentially saying, Jerusalem, Lagos, Silver Spring is irrelevant in Christianity. Location is no longer important. Symbolisms are gone because now we're dealing with spiritual worship. Do we understand that? Mecca, Medina. Where we worship is not what is important. What is important is Jesus, because God is a spirit. So do not put any significance to culture. Is there something I missed?
So sorry, the Mount Gerizim is not in that scripture. It was from the Old Testament when they split and they went. Sorry, sorry.
Yeah. Location. Do not be trapped into thinking you're a little more special because you have stepped on Abraham's grave or you walked the Via Dolorosa. Do not put people that went to heaven will not be because they had they visited Jericho or so they saw the Dead Sea. Even our Lord Jesus Christ did not put any premium, and besides, he lived in these locations. And in the gospel he preached to us, he did not put any premium on it. So anytime You get into any form of discussion in which someone is putting an importance on location or culture, beware. That's not the spirit of the Lord. Real Christianity is focused on Jesus, the Messiah. Beware. Now, but why is this even important? Let's go to Galatians 2, like we said we would. Because something similar happened in the time of Paul, as early as the time of Paul. And if you remember, this is just after the Lord Jesus Christ had ascended. The apostles were preaching to the Gentiles. Paul was on his missionary journey, planting churches. So he planted this church in this place called Galatia. And that's his entire letter was written to the Galatians. It was a city. And the Galatians here were the Christians in that city. And the apostle had really suffered. Remember what we read as Bible reading in 2 Corinthians 11. He documented how much he had suffered just so that we Gentile is anybody that is not a Jew, may receive Jesus. He was called the apostle to the Gentiles, right? So he had gone and he had planted a church based and focused on Jesus alone. But he wrote this letter because this church began to receive some guests. And those guests, I'm giving you a summary. And this is what this whole book is about. It's an exposition of true Christianity, the focus on Christ versus the temptation to go into the law. You know, we'll explain that a little bit. Please, I know it's a little wonky today, but I'm slowing it down. So this church had received some Jim brothers, very anointed men of God, right? And you read about one of them. And they were preaching Jesus. They were believers. They were preaching Jesus. They were not antichrists and they were not mean. In fact, one of our favorite characters in the Bible was one of them. So you know that these are not mean-spirited people. These are well-intended people. But they were doing something that had a potential to weaken the church. So the apostle to the Gentile had to write the church this letter. Do you understand? You're not bored yet, right? So anytime you think about the letter to the Galatians, it's not some spiritual script that just fell from heaven and landed. No, no. There was something happening and the apostle decided that he wanted to correct it with a letter. Let's see what it was. Chapter 2. Let's start from... I don't want to read from chapter 1. I want us to just... Let's start from 6. No, 11. Now, when Peter... 2:11. When Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. What was he being blamed for? Let's go back a bit. 8:9. And when James, Peter, John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also, so let's, I think he will talk about it. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who are of the circumcision. So you see what? One of my favorite men. One of the realest men in the New Testament to me, Peter. You see, as anointing as he was, actually he was the first person to carry the message of salvation to a Gentile. Remember Cornelius? The story of the Holy Spirit coming? That was God working in Peter. But even Peter, as anointed as he was, he fell under the temptation to differentiate himself within the same church of Jesus to separate himself from the Gentiles. Why? Because till today it's still happening. Because Jewish believers feel that somehow they are different from Gentile believers. So what would happen was, when other Jews were not there, Peter would fellowship with us. But when some believers who had a background in the law and the cultures of the Jews, when they came to New Covenant Church, Peter would separate himself because he did not want to be criticized for hanging with Gentiles. And that was the beginning of this tendency to separate within the church Jews from Gentiles. Although the teaching of the Bible is that in Christ, we are all one. Do we understand what was happening here? Do we understand? We're going to... Right.
Here, here, question. Why did the Jewish...
Romans.
The, yeah.
Let's go to... Paul hinted at it. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Acts Romans. Why
the question
did the
is,
Jews... Okay, go ahead. Brother,
I asked the question, why did the Jewish feel they were that special from the Gentiles?
Okay, so you force us to go a little bit back and give some context, okay? All right. Is it 9 or 10? I'll start reading from verse 1. You're going to see why now. And this is all true. Very, very true. Yeah, but there's a history and a background. Very justifiable one. There's the... Let's just read this. I tell the truth in Christ. I'm reading from Romans 9. I'm not lying. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are the Jews, the Israelites. He said, because theirs is the adoption. Theirs is the glory. Theirs is the covenant. Theirs is the giving of the law, the service of God and the promises. Of them are the fathers. And from them in the flesh, a Savior came, who is over all, eternally blessed God. Amen. The history of Christianity is steeped in the history of the Jews. They in the flesh are the sons of Abraham. We are seeds of Abraham through Christ our Redeemer. We were idol worshippers. If you look at the history of, if you are not a Jew, our history is the history of our great forefathers, is the history of idol worshippers. When I was young, I remember very young, in those days when it was Christmas, they'll take you to the village. How many of you ever went to your village for Christmas? Don't be a Jebo. Raise your hands, Joe. Then look, plain a Jebo. You grew up in Ife. Raise your hand. Ife is a village. See, Brother Bumito is putting hand down. Abu Legba, raise your hand. They are forming. They are forming tush. In those days, I remember very clearly, I was young. They disappeared by the power of Jesus. But I remember you see an idol. I remember you see an idol beside huts. Our fathers were idol worshippers. And I remember when I was in primary school, now everybody is Oluwa. This Oluwa is God. All our prefixes have God. Simile, Oluwa, Kanyi, Oluwa, Kiniko, Oluwa, Oluwa, Kemi. This is the only true Ogunson. He refused to change his name. You know what your pastor's name means? Ogun pays me. But when we were growing up, every other name was Ogunsi, Oshagbemi. That these are gods. Osho these. These are gods in Yoruba land. And it reflected our history. But the Jews have always known the true God. The salvation that came to all of mankind came through the Jews. They were special people. There's every right for them. And suddenly, imagine, it's like what is happening with the nationalist movement in America today. Suddenly they look around and there are black people in their hospitals. They are doctors, professors. They look around and they have a black president. They look around and a black woman is about to be president. I don't know if it pleases the Lord, right? You look at it and you think these people are wicked. If you come from where they come from, you will feel threatened. You say, we're losing our culture. We're losing our identity. They are coming to take over our land. So spiritually, this was also what was happening. Suddenly, Christianity was preaching that it's no longer about Abraham. It's now about a seed of Abraham, and it includes the whole world, former idol worshippers. So even as believers, there was the tendency to go back to that mindset of exclusivity. But the blood of Jesus is sufficient for all. The Bible says he has come to break down the wall of enmity, which is the law that separated Jews and Gentiles. The plan of Jesus is that in him, and we'll read it, I'm looking at the clock, there'll be no more Jews or Gentiles. It will be one people of all races, of all tribes, glorifying the Lord, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand the background here? But this is a lesson that was hard for our Jewish brethren in Galatians to accept. So although they had received Jesus and believed in Jesus, they still believed in Jewish exclusivity. And that thing is still in the church today. Okay? So in this Galatians chapter 2, Peter, the great anointed, and I keep saying Peter because people who are faithful also make this mistake. But it doesn't glorify the Lord. But thank God for Paul. In verse 13, he said, the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with hypocrisy. They were separating themselves from what? From the Gentiles. Within Christianity, they wanted to establish Jewish exclusivity. But when you do that, what you're saying is that Jesus is not enough. And remember we said it last week, I'm going to say it again. Today, what is happening with the movement called Messianic Judaism, is that they don't want to identify with Gentiles. And it's affecting their doctrine. They don't even want to be called Christians. They want to continue with Jewish feasts, which is good. And let me tell you something. One thing, if you have a Christian name, someone called me, I told you last week and said, I forget, my name is Deborah or something. So what's your real name? Then she told me her real name, Oduwatobi or something. I forget the name. I said, so why are you Deborah? Listen, there's no anointing to giving your children Christian names. You are not. There's no such thing as a Christian name. A Yoruba name that praises the Lord is a Christian name. You don't have to be Rebecca. Those are Jewish names. God, when he calls us, he hasn't called us to forsake our culture. It was him that divided us into different cultures. He said, every tongue will worship the Lord. You worship the Lord in your... You don't have to become a Jew in order to be a Christian. And a Jew does not have to become a Gentile in order to be a Christian. You don't have to travel to Jerusalem in order to worship the Lord. The Lord hears prayers in every continent of the world because the earth is his, Sister Kike read it this morning, and the fullness of it. Jesus died for all. So if we continue this real quick, he said, when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth. So anything that introduces anyone, even Peter, that introduces anything other than Jesus. Remember, we're talking about Jesus alone. Beware of it. It's not being straightforward with the truth. Remember in Colossians 2 last week, Paul said, don't let anybody impress you with all this Judaism, feasts, holidays, Sabbath. He said, all of those things are shadows. Jesus is the head. Don't be impressed. Just focused on Jesus. Says Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't be impressed. Christ is not impressed with all of these things. Those who did it, he did not give them salvation. Okay? So, Peter here warned, and if you, how he said, if you being a Jew, live in a manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? I'll go to verse 16. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we also as Jews have believed in Jesus Christ so that we may be justified by faith, not by works of the law. Then he went to 17. If you seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also will be found sinners. Are we then saying that Christ is a minister of sin? Certainly not. Okay? Then it went on to chapter 3. That's why I said we have quite some readings to do today. He said, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you so that you will not obey the truth?" Because all of us said when we got born again, did we get born again because of some doctrines about the Sabbath and the Torah? No. Each one of us that got born again, we got born again because of the gospel of the death and the resurrection and the love of God for us. And that he's coming back to take us home. Stick to that. So he was warning the Galatians, all foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? New Covenant Church, don't be bewitched. Focus on Jesus alone. All of those extras, those doctrines about the law, the significance of the Old Testament, and the, if you know Jesus, you are okay. You don't need to be a professor to be justified by God. Just put your confidence in Jesus, his death and his resurrection, and his spirit will enlighten you. So in chapter 3, he warned them. He said in 3:3, are you so foolish that having begun in the spirit, you are now being made perfect by the flesh? Because at this point, some people were coming to tell the Gentiles that they also needed to be circumcised. Right? That they also need circumcision, but they do not. Then he went on to warn them from verse 10 that if you dare try to be a Jew under the law, as many as are of the works of the law, they are still under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law. If you want to start keeping part of the law, and you don't keep the whole thing, you forfeited grace. You are either going to have your full confidence in Christ and be saved, or you are going to be moved away to other things and you risk the error that will compromise your full confidence in Jesus as Savior. So beware. Beware. Don't be impressed. Just beware. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I'll go all the way. I'll skip the rest to 16. He said, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's what? Neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free in Jesus. There's neither black or white. There's neither male or female. You are all what? One in Christ. And if you are Christ, don't let anybody deceive you and saying they are more authentic Abraham seed than you are. The scripture says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's. New Covenant Church, answer me now. You don't need to be born a Jew to be Abraham's seed. So don't let anybody make you feel you are less connected to Jesus Christ. You are not. If you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and you are here according to the promise of Abraham. There's no more Greek, no more Jew. Be proudly Yoruba and worship Jesus. Be proudly Guyanese, is it? And worship Jesus. Be proudly Sierra Leonean. You don't need to be a Jew. You don't need to be. In those days, the missionaries will come and force us to take their own name before we are baptized. So, an Olubibi, we become David. Why? God knows the meaning, understands Yoruba. Be proudly. God did not make a mistake putting you where you are and locating you. Be proudly who you are. Usman. Usman is an Islamic name. Arabic belongs to God. Just glorify God as your Usman. Now, I'm not castigating those who did this. I'm just saying there are consequences to doctrine. So, in those days, they will teach us that we cannot worship the God with trucking drum. We must sing because they only worship the God with an organ in their churches. They will also teach us that the right way to worship the Lord is with organ. That our talking drum, those are all satanic. But thank God we know better today. Every culture, every tribe has its expression of devotion. God did not make you a woman for nothing. You don't need to become, Elijah to be a prophet of God. Worship the Lord. Let's cast away the symbols and hold on to the substance, right? So remember that verse. Say, there's no such thing as Messianic Jews and Christians. You're either a Christian or you're not. Don't fall into the trap of people who idealize Israel as a people because of Jesus. Because the Jesus that they are claiming, he did not idealize a nation or a people. He came and died for the whole world. For the whole world. Be very careful. If not, there'll be resentment within the body of the Lord. But Christ has come to unite, not to divide. Our faith does not preach culture, does not preach gender. Our faith preaches love and preaches Jesus. Do we understand this message? There's so much. I think I'd like us to close this today, right? Paul was so pained in teaching this in Galatians chapter 4. He now gave, and we're going to close on this. He gave a teaching that I'd like all of us to understand. Please, let's switch that to Galatians chapter 4. It's a little tenuous, but we have to understand it. We do. Let's go to chapter 4 from verse 31. Because many Gentiles had become so persuaded that they somehow need to be circumcised or somehow have to imbibe some of the Jewish practices in order to be authentic worshippers of God. And the apostle was incensed about this. You will see that. I mean, when a whole apostle says, oh, foolish New Covenant Church, you know that he's not saying it because he loves us. It's because he wants to warn us. But look at his tone here as he continues. And there's this teaching. Because when you read the Old Testament, I've always said this, and I tell you, you know the correct way to read the Old Testament? First, read the New. Tell me, if there's already an answer to a test, if the tutorial gives the question and the answer, and the teacher gives you, he says, this is the material that you must practice to pass it. Are you going to go into the textbook to study, or you are going to study the tutorial or the question? Which one is a smart way? Yeah. Which one? Maybe you. Me, when they say there's an exam, when the teacher who taught me, Jesus who taught me, gave me the question, and he also gave me the answer, right? And he says the exam is coming. I will go and read the exam. I will go and read the answer. He already told me these are the things that are important that I will test you on so that I will get my A. Who cares? I just want to get my A. After I have gotten my A and I'm now going into university to do advanced, I can now say, okay, I want to go back and learn some more. Because you cannot know better than Jesus. I can give an interpretation to the Old Testament that Jesus did, and I always tell my children this, that whatever you think you know in a textbook, you better make sure that it's the teacher's answer that you're putting down, not your own. The Christian interpretation of the Old Testament is given to us by Jesus. It's also given to us by Paul, anointed by the Holy Spirit, to teach us what the Torah says. Many things that are hidden in the Old Testament, they are revealed by the Spirit of. In fact, the Bible says that even the prophets that taught them did not know what they were writing at that time. But by the Holy Spirit, we now know. And they are documented in the new. I understand the old today because I understand the new. If I were to read Moses, I'll be confused. And a lot, that's why people are walking into churches and removing their shoes. Because they read somewhere and they always says, remember, remove your shoes because the ground in which you are standing is holy. But because I read the new first, I understand God is not telling me to remove my shoes. It means something else. Be filled with grace. Be a professor of the doctrine of grace. And then you'll be able to handle Genesis to Leviticus. Because you know the meaning of what you are reading before you even read it. The law will trip you if you are not careful. But the apostles are anointed by God to teach us about this law. And one example of that is what we're about to read in Galatians chapter 4. These people were taught about the two covenants, the old and the new covenant. I'll start from verse 21. Tell me, all of you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear what the law says? It says, a man anointed by God, a Pharisee, who also knows about Jesus, now teaching us what it means. Because a lot of people had come to this church to teach them what they think it meant. So the apostle anointed to teach the Gentiles came to the Gentiles and began to expose to them the meaning of what they thought they knew. Said, do you not know what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. We all read that, didn't we? One was by a bond woman, the other by a free woman. We all read it in, was it Exodus or Genesis? Or where was that? Genesis. He who was of the bond woman was born according to the flesh. But he who was of the free woman was born through a promise. We only know this in retrospect. Okay? He said, all of these things are mere symbols. So if you had only read the Old Testament, what you have read is what? Just a symbol. Okay? For these are the two covenants. All the story we've read about Ishmael and about Isaac, he said, they're just a symbol. Esau and Isaac, they represent the Old and the New Testament, according to Paul. And I'm not about to argue with Paul. I thought I was reading about two men. Said, no, when you read it, you're not really reading about two men. You're reading about two what? Two covenants. How would I have known that? Then he kept writing. He said, one is Mount Sinai, which gives back to bondage. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That would have taken apostolic revelation for me to know. And it gives back, Mount Sinai, which gives back to bondage, and this is Hagar. So, I thought I was reading about a woman called Hagar, but I was actually reading about a mount called Sinai. And that mountain symbolically gives back to bondage. Then I start getting interested. What is the apostle doing? What is he saying here? For that, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Oh my goodness. Poor Hagar. Even she did not know that she was a mountain in Arabia. That the significance of her life is way more than a bond woman, a slave woman giving birth. It's a message eternally to the church that is to be born before this even happened. And it corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is. So we always thought that Hagar represented Saudi Arabia because we saw Mount Arabia, right? But what did the apostle just tell us it represents? Please say to me, who would have thunk that? All the time I read this, they said the bondwoman represented the poor Arabs with their bows and arrow. But what is the apostle saying here? It corresponds to what? Which Jerusalem? The existing Jerusalem. I never would have, I thought Sarah corresponded to the existing Jerusalem. But the revelation of the Holy Spirit in the Apostle Paul is telling us that it corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Don't you see it? What's happening today? What is the history of Jerusalem? First run over by the Gentiles for centuries, still struggling for a land. Bondage, strife, no rest. But the Holy Spirit opens the eyes of the Galatian church through the revelation to their apostle and is revealing this to them. Said, but the Jerusalem from above, which we are all waiting for, that is the real free. Those are the two covenants here. And that is the mother of us all. The story of Sarah and Hagar is not a story of nations. It's a story of covenants. One covenant is in bondage. That's Hagar, representing the current Jerusalem. But the other is free. The one that comes from above through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see how the apostle closes that up. He said, for it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than he who has a husband. I don't know what that means, but it says rejoice. He goes on and says, now, we brethren, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Here Paul was saying, as of the time he was speaking, remember, this is to the Galatians. Remember, what he's struggling with was Jewish brethren corrupting the gospel with the law, right? Am I correct? That's the context of this whole letter, right? Galatians chapter 2, we've read it. Chapter 3, we've read it. That is the thing, right? Said, nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be here with the son of the free woman. That means cast out the law. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman. What? But we are free. I was speaking to Gentiles. He said, don't go back to the law. He's saying the interpretation of the parable of Hagar and Sarah is the liberty that comes to everybody, the new Jerusalem that comes from above. The present art religions, whether it's Islam, whether it's Judaism, they are under bondage. But in Christ, there's freedom and liberty. Jesus, the head of the church. Jesus, the revelation of the New Testament. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and of all powers. The whole essence of this teaching is, brethren, as we close, you don't know what you have received in Christ. Nothing can be added to him. Nothing can be removed. Just focus on Jesus Christ. All things are yours. Today we've learned that we are the seed of Abraham as well. Whether you are Jew or you are not Jew. Today we have learned that we are of a free Jerusalem, which is from above. Every Jerusalem from on earth we fail. It's under bondage. The Bible says in Romans 8 that the whole of creation groans. It's under bondage. It's groaning and it's waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Hold on to Christ. There's no hope. Whether your religion is your work, or your religion is Islam, or your religion is Judaism, if you have Jesus, That is all you need. All hail King Jesus. God will not compare his son to anyone. Worship the Lord. Don't be intimidated. Just focus. Last week we learned, I think it's Colossians 2:6, that as you have received Christ or thereabout, walk therefore in him. You are complete in Jesus, the head of all principalities and power. Do we understand this? Any one question, two questions before we close the service? This is a little bit of a teaching today. That's why I want to, it's not, I want to make, do you understand? Can you articulate? Okay, since you're not asking me to, just give me a summary of what you want. I just want to be, I know it's a little intense this morning because just one sentence summary. You don't, please go back and read Galatians 2, read Galatians 3, read Galatians 4. Read the latter part of Galatians 6. Read Colossians chapter 2. I'm giving you the scriptures again. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which was our Bible reading this morning. Then read Romans 9, 10. Again, we mentioned scriptures from there as well. You can help her. Roma care, me too.
So you
did I just call you?
You looked at me, but you I'm said me too. Roma care, me
too. The Lord will help me. It's age. Yeah.
But a summary of what we learned today is basically that Christianity is not limited by where we are from and who we are, like, because at the end of the day we're all like one through Christ. So it doesn't matter if like you're a Jew or Gentile, or if you're Nigerian or Chinese or anything, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day we're all binded together through Christ, or bound together through Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And don't be intimidated, because Satan will seek any legitimate thing to move you away from just taking pride in Christ and Christ alone. Paul said that he has discovered that he will not glory in anything except Christ and him. In fact, in that 2 Corinthians that I read, he said, is anybody a Jew? I'm even more of a Jew. I have more reason to glory as a Jew, but I count all these things as dung that I may know Jesus, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if peradventure I may also attain to the resurrection of the dead with the Lord. It's so important to know nothing but Jesus. It's so important. Praise the Lord. And Auntie Kemi, the Efiko, yes. No wonder she's a medical doctor. Some of us just want to pass and go. That textbook is too fat. I just want to pack. Let us pray. Jesus, your word is truth. And there's so much at times, it's overwhelming. But it's so easy for you to show yourself to us in ways that doctrine cannot explain. He said we should do due diligence in your word. We should study to show ourselves approved workmen who we have nothing to be ashamed of, but who will rightly divide the word of life. We want your help, Lord. There's so much going around, stealing our joy and our peace. A lot of people are led astray exactly because of the zeal. Paul said to the Romans, he wrote in Romans that he attests to the zeal but of the Jews, boys, that it's without understanding. Please do not let Satan take anything of you away from us. Help our hearts, Lord, to be hungry for you. You are more than enough. As we go into this week, Lord, help us to glory in you. Reveal yourself to us. Everywhere we open, help us to see you. You are more than enough. Thank you, Father. Please keep us. I pray for every hurting heart in this place today. Lord, we are being tried sorely in many regards. Give us, Father, the strength to stand. All of it are also temptations to pull us away from you. Father, I pray that joy will come in the morning for every heavy heart this morning. And your peace, O Prince of Peace, will be with each person. Those who are sick, pray, Father, that you please heal them. Show your power to everybody and every family here, Lord. Prove yourself in our lives, Lord. David said, hide not your face from us, O Lord. This is what we plead for. You are our Lord and our God. Pray that there will be nobody frustrated here. For students here who seek help, let them find help. Our young workers who are navigating their professional lives, please be a light to them, Lord. While all others are getting helps with serious networking, I pray that you will be their personal network. Those who are sick among us, Papa, I pray you preserve their lives. Pray that everything we're going through, so though Satan may mean it for evil, it will only end up to strengthen us in Jesus' name. Lord, this morning I have to pray for my sister Fanta. I have to pray for my brother Anim. Lord, I pray for my daughter. Father, heal them, O Lord. Please heal. Succor us, O Lord. Take the glory. Your name is a strong tower, and the righteous come to you and they are redeemed. They are saved. Manifest your power. Pray we will not go empty-handed, O Lord. May your name be glorified. For in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.